welcome to the Chicago Football Podcast. I'm Kevin Fishbane, your host. You can follow me on Twitter at KFishbane. Joined this week by my associate producer, John Solly, back in the saddle at JSolly on Twitter. Executive producer Dan Mott in the house, running the dials at Mott's Thoughts. And intern Sam has joined us to see how to do it, how to be professional.
Oh, she walked into the wrong show for that.
Probably. Right? Wait until the end of the show when things are going to get wild.
Uh-oh. As long as you keep your pants on, I think you know we're fine.
It's a podcast. It's not on video. Go check out all of our Bears content at profootballweekly.com/Bears. And you can follow everything on Twitter at Bears_insider. Subscribe to this on iTunes, the Chicago Football Podcast. Go ahead and give us a 5-star ratings only.
And leave a review.
Positive reviews only.
It helps people discover the show.
How about we'll make a deal. If you have a negative review, you can just tweet it at JSolly, JSahly. If you have a positive review, write it in the iTunes. Don't at me.
I don't really like that.
Too late. It's already been thrown out there. So we have a special. We're going to do a mailbag edition of the Chicago Football Podcast. As we talked last week, minicamp wrapped up. So Bears are on summer vacation. We do have guests lined up for the next few weeks, guests we're very excited about. But this week we want to answer some of your Bears questions now that things are in a little bit of a lull before training camp begins at the end of July. So we'll answer your Bears questions. If you ever have any Bears questions, tweet them at KFishbane or at Bears_insider, and we'll take them. Sometimes we'll do some live chats during the summer and other mailbag things so we can try to answer all of your Bears questions. Let's go ahead and get started with your Twitter mailbag. All right, so Chachi, whose Twitter handle is at Frankie Myers, but I like Chachi better.
Yeah.
He had a couple of good questions. He had two good questions this week. Let's go start with the first one. He goes, you know, the key word for the Bears acquisitions this offseason is versatility. What are some exotic Fangio fronts we could see employed after building such a large variety of skill sets along the front seven and down the depth chart?
First of all, exotic Fangio front sounds like my next band name.
Yeah, or a really interesting sitcom. Either yeah, or.
I'd watch that.
Yeah. But I would listen to the band Exotic Fangio Fronts. That's also, wow, fantasy football name.
Yeah.
A lot of things. A bowling team name.
What kind of music would Exotic Fangio Fronts play?
What kind of music would Vic Fangio like?
Reggae.
Yeah. He's a cool, chill guy with his gray hooded sweatshirt and khaki shorts on the practice field. But that's not why you called. Let's get to the question. So, for those of you who kind of observed Vic Fangio last year, he's not a blitzing guy. That's not in his MO. Now, then again, last year, in terms of that quick twitch edge rusher, he only really had Willie Young, and it took Willie Young half a season to kind of get into it and get healthy. Now that he has Leonard Floyd to work with, maybe we start seeing some different things. Also, keep in mind the new inside linebackers, Jarrell Freeman, Danny Trevathan. Would we see some of those A-gap blitzes, you know, some one of them coming up the middle? We saw him try it a little bit with Shay McClellan last year. I thought that was maybe the best way to use Shay McClellan, get him rushing the passer, but he's better off the edge than inside. So with all of those pieces in mind, yeah, I could see some different things. Jonathan Bullard is a guy who is more of a pass rushing defensive lineman. You can use him. Now, in terms of actual fronts, the most maybe exotic is when the Bears would go to their nickel, move Pernell McPhee inside. Sometimes they would have no defensive lineman on the field. They'd have McPhee, he has a knee injury, over the center as kind of like a nose tackle. You'd have two outside linebackers, your inside linebackers, and then maybe even six defensive backs if it was a dime package. So, yes, Chachi, there are a lot of there's a variety of ways Vic Fangio can get creative this year. That's kind of been the fun part of getting Leonard Floyd involved.
The bottom line is there are more guys that I think Vic Fangio trusts that he can open up a little bit more in terms of the fronts that they can present.
And the key with this defense is more turnovers, more sacks. And those can go hand in hand, too. You put pressure on the quarterback, you force bad throws. Makes it easier on the defensive backfield. So they're going to continue to try to find ways to increase that because it was two things they were not very good at last year. You have all these new faces up front. Guys are going to do it. A healthy Pernell McPhee really ends up being the key to all this because you can move him around to different spots, open things up for guys who are maybe a little better off the edge. He could still rush as good as anybody If he's inside on some of their sub packages. So that's going to be a fun thing. In terms of the defensive backs, there were a couple times last year Bryce Callahan would come in on a blitz. I've seen Harold Jones-Cortez or Adrian Amos, one of them, do it too. So I wouldn't rule it out. Look, you know, even though Vic Fangio is not a huge fan of using the blitz, as you just said, John, he's got more options in his toolbox to a little Mark Trestman term there. Yeah. Toolbox of pass rushers to and actually, back to the inside linebackers, I'm really curious to see how he uses Trevathan and Freeman. They are such an upgrade over what they had last year. You can really get creative with those two. All right. Next question. I like this Twitter handle, Bear on Beer.
Bear on Beer.
Bear on Beer. As it stands right now, are the Bears happy with their running back depth? So that's an interesting question because clearly the push they made for CJ Anderson would tell you that, no, they're not thrilled with what they have at running back, or they just saw a guy that they knew that they liked that would help the team. So my view on it has always been, and I've said this on the podcast, that they would have been totally fine getting an upgrade, but they're also totally cool with Jeremy Langford.
Yeah, I think I've used the sort of you're in the bar and you're happy with who you're with, and okay, somebody else walked in.
Yeah, you take a look.
Yeah.
And then, but you look at who you got, and like if you can't get the one who just walked in, you're perfectly fine with
love the one you're with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that wasn't too misogynistic, was it?
Oh, it was awful.
Okay. I mean, it could be anybody. It could be any gender here. We're just, you know, throwing out some different options. Okay, so here's who they have. We got Langford. We got Kadeem Carey. Jordan Howard, the rookie, who we didn't see a lot of because he was banged up in the spring. And then Jaquizz Rodgers. Those are your top four. So, look, if Jordan Howard is as good as we saw at times in Indiana, and he's your number three running back, and Kadeem Carey – they love Kadeem Carey. There's a story up. You can go find it on profootballweekly.com/Bears. I mean, John Fox is a huge fan of Carey. They like the way he runs. He's tough. He gets those extra yards. And then Langford, the yards per carry weren't good, but we saw a lot of glimpses of how explosive he could be. He's their draft pick. Those three, when you paint them out in those positive in that positive light, I'm a glass half full guy. You can see that, like, yeah, they're fine with the depth. The thing is, at this point in the year, you're not going to add someone that's going to really upgrade the position.
Is there any – now, without you losing your media credential, is there anybody that you saw in the past couple weeks that we've seen practices that has stood out, you think, more than others?
Actually, Dan, just thinking about it loses me my media
that's
credential.
That's it. It's gone. It's gone.
They have infiltrated my mind, and if I think about these things, I could lose my credential. No, not really. I mean, I noticed – here's one thing to remember. They do like Jaquizz Rodgers. And so don't be shocked if he makes the team, one. And two, he's out there on third down. It's kind of
– yeah, he might be.
They like – I mean, he was the number two behind Matt Forte last year before Langford even really did anything.
Yeah, I mean, before he got hurt.
So now, I think that Kadeem Carey could eventually be a better running option. Rodgers is better on special teams, but – you know, don't rule that out. Also, there could be a fullback involved this year. Paul Lesyk out of BYU, rugby player from New Zealand. Interesting story. They used him a little bit in minicamp, and Jay Cutler alluded to having a fullback in the mix. They tried out Daryl Young, who used to play for Washington, so I imagine they might bring another fullback in. That's another wrinkle we could see to the offense, which brings me to our next question. This is from Scott, who asks, with the Bears looking to utilize a fullback in their offense this year, how long until they bring back Harvey Younga?
All right, so here's my question. Are they really looking at utilizing a fullback, or is this just sort of something they're experimenting with and maybe you'll see occasionally? How much is the fullback going to actually play a role?
I think if Lesyk is good enough to make the roster, they're going to have a package of plays that involves him. I think if they look at him and they look around at the other fullbacks that are available and they feel like they don't have somebody that they're ready with right now to do it, then they'll find different ways to make it work. They can use Akari Lee or second tight end as that de facto H-back fullback. But let's get back to the question, John. Harvey Younga. It's been 2 years since he's been in Bourbonnais. Maybe three years.
I think we're going on
which
three.
Is crazy. to think that we've gone that long and without just, a Harvey Unger mention.
And I just picture Harvey Unger just hanging out in Bourbon A after the team leaves.
Yeah, like he's at TJ Downlands right now. He's at Downlands playing bags, just waiting for the call. And then he's probably sitting there reading the stories and seeing the Bears might actually use a fullback on the roster this year. This is my time.
He's like, hey, what about me?
Man, Harvey Unger. I mean, what it's like to be – well, that's a Tom Musick story for another day.
Is this actually
a story that I think Tom Musick's already written.
Probably twice. Is this going to be one of those training camp things where, you know, as an outside observer, I'm going to get annoyed about because there's going to be too many fullback stories because eventually guys need to file copy?
Maybe. Here's what I can promise you. My story on Polisic, it's going to be the best one.
I will read your story on
Thank
Polisic.
You. You're contractually obligated to also.
Yeah, actually, I'm probably going to edit it.
Yeah, so you probably will. Let's go to another question. This one comes in from French Derek.
As opposed to?
Well, his name is Derek.
British Derek?
His name is Derek French, and his Twitter handle is @FrenchDerek.
All right.
Okay. All right. Which undrafted free agent has the best chance to make the team? This is a fun question because I think there's always going to be a couple, maybe just one, two, three. There's going to be some. By the way, let's get this out of the way right now. If the Bears sign like 7 undrafted rookies to the 53-man roster, not a good sign.
Right. The more you have, the worse
you
are.
Not a good sign. I think they had like 4 last year. And everyone's like, oh, you know, this guy really impressed you in the preseason. This guy was
–
No. You don't want a lot of those. So the two that stick out for me are Ben Browniker, friend of the program, tight end from Harvard. You can go back a couple podcasts to go listen to my interview with Ben. Draftable grade from a lot of places, really athletically gifted player at a huge position of need right now. So many questions behind Zach Miller. They have Tony Moyaki in there now. Maybe he takes the number 2 tight end role. So I would throw Browniker right in because he's got the athleticism. You know he can understand a playbook, and it's a position of need. Roy Robertson-Harris was kind of the next best – or not even next best. He might have been the best in terms of draft grades. The problem with Robertson-Harris is outside linebackers like the deepest position on the Bears right now. You know McPhee, Houston, Young, and Floyd are making the team. And then you have Sam Macho, yeah, who's a special teams guy, Lamin Barrow, another special teams guy, and Roy Robertson-Harris. So it's going to be tough, but he is practice squad material for sure. And then cornerback position, that's a thin position. We had Kevin.
This is the one we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
There's a good chance that someone undrafted.
So keep an eye on Kevin Peterson, friend of the program. You know, had a 4th-round grade by some place. I think we got a 5th-round grade on him. Plays the nickel, which is, you know, right now, outside Bryce Callahan, the Bears don't have a whole lot of options of guys that can play the inside corner position. Another area where they could use some bodies. Tevez Calhoun's looked pretty good in minicamp, another corner out of Mississippi State. I guess I'm answering this question by naming every undrafted rookie.
I mean, they all could.
So there's 5. Oh, I'll throw in one more. John Kling, Kling Kong. This gentleman is 6
foot.
That's his nickname, not mine.
Okay.
I think. 6'9".
Okay, then it applies.
Yeah, so nice. Big dude out there at right tackle. And position of need, they got to have that number 4. So he's competing with Nate Chandler, who they just brought in, as well as Jason Weaver, who's a bit of a veteran, to get that kind of number 4 offensive tackle. So what did I just give you? 6 guys? You want me to give you another one? How about Kieran Duncan, the long-haired 4240 wide receiver?
The fastest Bears player you've never heard of?
Yeah. So he's someone that I would give it 3 Bourbon A practices before I start getting tweets about how good he looks out there.
Oh, practice. It'll be 2.
So there's a lot of them. I would say that my top 4 would be Browniker, Robertson-Harris, Kevin Peterson, John Kling.
That's a good list.
Tevez Calhoun. Top 5.
Okay.
Moving on. Actually, let's take a quick break here to talk about Loot Crate. LootCrate.com. They're our sponsor. Go to LootCrate.com/Shaw. Use our promo code Shaw, SHAW. It's Shaw Media's birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday to us.
As we're recording this. Happy birthday, Shaw Media. Been around a long time. So these crates are awesome. It's a monthly subscription box service for all you geeks, nerds, comic book lovers alike. Every month you get a mystery box. You got collectibles, apparel, licensed gear, a t-shirt, other things. They're $45 value in every box, but you can get a box for less than $20 a month. And again,
it's a heck of a deal.
Heck of a deal. And use that promo code SHAW, S-H-A-W. You get $3 off your first crate. So we're in that middle period here. So a new crate's coming in July, but you can still go get some old crates. Last month's crate, we had some Matrix items in there, Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
You got any items that you'd like to see in this upcoming month's loot crate?
Besides a Bachelorette t-shirt? Pop culture aficionados are supposed to love it. No, these are more, that's a good question.
Maybe an Aaron Rodgers brothers like face on a t-shirt?
Yeah, so I kind of wanted to see what the Dragon Ball Z items were, because that's real throwback nostalgia for me. That was a couple crates ago, but you can go get that at lootcrate.com. Go find one of those old crates. You know, Ben Affleck was on that new television show last night, talking a little Batman Superman, which again, they've already done that, but look, anything Batman Superman related, Marvel Comics or even DC, I'll be interested in for the next.
I'm just waiting on the next Deadpool, really.
That's true. But you can get all these at lootcrate.com. Use our promo code SHAW, S-H-A-W, get $3 off your first crate, and tweet us. Let us know what your favorite items were in the crate. Let's go to another question. Back to our Twitter mailbag. This one comes in. Another one. Let's go back to Chachi, right?
Okay, Chachi.
All right. I was guessing the Bears would progress their offense by installing more RPOs. Who knows what an RPO is?
I'm not buying stock in RPO, am I?
Run pass option.
Okay.
I believe.
I hope.
What scheme progression have you noticed, if any? So I think this is talking about the idea of Dow Loggins takes over. What kind of wrinkles is he going to have in Adam Gase's offense? We've heard the phrase backbone. The backbone of the offense is the same. Now, they use some run-pass option, and what I mean by that is Cutler takes the snap from shotgun. He has the option to hand off to Langford or keep it himself, and the receivers have their routes to run. Or it could be even – most of the RPOs are essentially pre-snap, where Jay Cutler can go to the line. He's got an option to switch to run or pass and go from there. I would imagine in his second year with this offense, with an offense coordinator who's very familiar with – you're going to see a lot more freedom for Jay Cutler at the line, pre-snap and post-snap. So, yes, I would imagine you would start to see some of these different progressions within their offensive scheme. And if the receivers are healthy, he's got more weapons at his disposal too. Even without Bennett and Forte, if he's got Jeffrey White and Royal, that just opens the playbook up a little more. So, yes, I would imagine any kind of options you can throw in there. And this is a question specifically about run-pass options. That he can have before the snap or even at the snap, anything to kind of up the playbook a little bit.
And run-pass options have really been a part of the college game now for the past couple of years. You know, if you're locally here in Chicago, Jordan Lynch was really known for doing that.
I've heard of him. Illinois.
I know you've heard of him. And stuff like that from the college level, those innovations do eventually trickle up to the NFL. So I wouldn't be surprised to see more of that. Not only in the Bears offense, but in some other offenses around the league.
Let's go. We got a couple more questions here on the Chicago Football Podcast. And this is one we kind of alluded to earlier. This one comes in from Ken. Do you expect to see improvement in the performance of the secondary? More turnovers generated? ?
Yes.
Vic Fangio and Ed Tattletale certainly hope so. This has been a theme. We talked to Tracy Porter. I talked to Bryce Callahan. These guys know they need to make more plays on the ball. It is going to be an absolute emphasis. It has been an emphasis of the spring. It's going to continue this summer and into the season. They need to create more turnovers, and that Adrian Amos is going to get involved in that as well. We mentioned you bring in guys like Trevathan and Freeman that can cover the flats and tight ends better than the inside linebackers they had. You throw that in there. You talk about better pass rush. That's going to create more turnovers. But this is focused on the secondary. And John, you think back to what a good year Tracy Porter had. He only had the one interception. Now, it was a monumental interception on Thanksgiving to help beat the Packers. But he pointed that out. He knows he only had the one pick. Kyle Fuller had a couple. Bryce Callahan did not have any. Those guys are itching to get their hands on the football. So there is going to be a concerted effort. Now that they know the scheme, they're more comfortable in the scheme, to take what they know and make more plays and create more turnovers.
And I think you hit the nail on the head that because the rest of the defense, at least you would think, has been upgraded significantly, that's going to create more opportunities for those 50-50 type balls, For overthrows, for places where you get turnovers.
Yeah, and keep an eye on if Harold Jones-Cordy wins the other safety job. He's an aggressive guy, and he got around the football a couple times in his limited appearances last year. And you know it's going to be, as I've mentioned, a point of emphasis for Adrian Amos. That's how he elevates his game, creating turnovers. So the personnel is actually pretty much the same in the secondary. A secondary that did not produce turnovers, but as we've mentioned, same scheme, a real focus on it. You got to imagine that number is going to increase. If it doesn't, they got big problems. Next question. This one comes in from Brandon. Brandon wants to know if we see Vic Fangio pulling any potential out of Marquise Jackson. Do you know who Marquise Jackson is there, John? That's okay. Most people don't. Marquise Jackson is the roster player number 89 because the Bears only have 89 players on the roster. He was the last one added along with Tony Moyaki. He is the twin brother of Malik Jackson.
Oh.
So Marquise Jackson actually was at the rookie minicamp as a tryout player. And John Fox kind of joked that Marquise would hang around the Denver facility, and people thought he was Malik just in the cafeteria. Marquise Jackson went to a couple junior colleges, I believe, played at Portland State, and has not been able to latch on to an NFL team. But here is a position where – after the front four of Bullard, Goldman, Hicks, and Unrein, you got some options there for roster spots. You go Ferguson, Will Sutton, I think, have the first crack. Cornelius Washington in there as well. Terry Williams. And this is where Marquise Jackson can maybe make it work. I mean, you know he's got the bloodlines. His brother just got a heck of a lot of money from Jacksonville. And John Fox knows him. And, you know, Jay Rogers, a defensive line coach, defensive coordinator Vic Fangio, they're going to see what they have in him, but I will caution people. Yes, he's Malik's twin brother, but there's a reason he wasn't signed to an NFL team until last week.
He sounds like an ideal practice squad type of guy that they can take some time to develop a little bit.
And these are the guys we're going to talk about in training camp, and we're going to keep an eye. We're always looking at who's going to make the roster, and he's going to be, you know, try to put himself in position to be in one of those competitions to win a roster spot. But we got to remember there's 89 guys right now. There'll be 90 in Bourbonnais. They'll only keep 53, 10 on the practice squad. New practice squad rule, John. I know you love the practice squad.
They're my guys.
They can now keep four players who have more than two accrued seasons. So essentially you can keep up to four veterans on your practice squad, which David Fales is the type of guy I believe that might factor in for if he's still practice squad eligible. So there are certain ways that the Bears can keep some guys on that practice squad, continue to kind of use as a developmental program for players.
Yeah, guys that you've been developing for a couple of years, you're not ready to give up on them yet, but in the past you basically had to, and now maybe you get another year to take a look.
One thing I'm going to be curious about for Ryan Pace. So last year they had six draft picks. All of them made the team. Five of them are very important contributors to this year's team: White, Langford, Goldman, Amos, and Hieronymus Grissou. I almost tipped my tongue there. And then they cut Teo Fabaluje. So five of his six first draft picks are starters. You look at this draft where they had nine picks. Are all nine of them going to make the team?
Well, all nine of them will not start.
No.
We know that.
But so this is where you look at Daniel Braverman, DeAndre Houston Carson, who's a friend of the program. Not sure that helps or hurts his chances to make the team.
I'd say it hurts.
Probably hurts. you'll be like, why were you answering these weird questions? So that's going to be an interesting thing for Ryan Pace when it comes to where they want to get younger. These are your draft picks. But there are teams, the Bears have done it in the past, where you cut a draft pick. Now, actually, look, the Bears have not cut a draft pick in a while, like before the season. So that's going to be a test for Ryan Pace and John Fox, to figure out. Again, you're trying to figure out the best 53. We got another question here. We do have another question here. This is an interesting one here. I can't really read the Twitter handle. Has Coach Fox ever hired Van Halen to play at his birthday party? Now, this is in response to the photo that has gone viral. The photo of John Fox was on Kevin Seifert's ESPN.com story. It was a Foxy when he was playing college football. He's got long hair, and I got a lot of good tweets about this. We got a lot of references to Dazed and Confused or Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Got a Ric Flair mentioned.
He's got kind of a Ric Flair Spicoli type of thing.
There was
going
a quote, "I'm so high, I have no idea what's going on right now." John Spicoli Fox, that came in from Johnny O'Grady. I was actually Google imaging. You know what he looked like? I couldn't pinpoint like one character, but you know there was a guest star on Saved by the Bell that looked like that. There was somebody that was on the football team or wrestling team. You could just picture him walking through the hallways with his letter jacket.
Yeah, like it's not Ox.
Like
or
shoving
like
Screech
that.
Into a locker or going to the restaurant and hanging out with AC Slater that looked like the picture of John Fox. If you haven't seen it, go check it out on my Twitter at KFishbane or at Bears_Insider. Go read Kevin Seifert's story at ESPN.com. It is a phenomenal photo of John Fox. Again, straight out of one of those 80s teen movies. It's great. But unfortunately, I don't know if he's ever had Van Halen at his birthday. I wouldn't put it past him.
It's just the 80s teen movie photo. Like now John Fox has to go save the youth center or something like that.
Coach Fox, you got to raise $20,000 in the next 10 hours. How are you going to do it?
Looks like we're going to have a dance at the...
What I can do? I'm going to coach football. That's what I do. Coach football. We're going to raise the money for the kids. I wouldn't watch that movie. I might to see Foxy, but that's that actually wraps up our mailbag questions. John and Dan and intern Sam, do you guys want a Bachelorette update?
Obviously,
let's hear it. I've been waiting all week.
This is how I get my Bachelorette.
All week for the Bachelorette update. There's a new Sunday Night Football song coming this year, by the way, by Carrie Underwood. Maybe we won't be waiting all week for Sunday night because we spent all Sunday watching football games. Bachelorette update. Chad is gone. Chad has been removed from the program.
Woo-hoo!
Voted off the island.
That's Survivor.
Everyone hated Chad.
Is Bachelorette on an island this year?
They go to different places, okay. So one of them might be an island. I think they're in Uruguay last week. I think they're in both Uruguay and somewhere in Europe at the same – not the same time. But so Chad is gone. And
this is the Jay Cutler lookalike, right?
Kind of. But I feel like it's really mean to Jay Cutler to compare Chad to him. But what was kind of a bummer was the episode where Chad essentially gets booted off ends, and you see him kind of at the front door looking for confrontation. So you get excited, and you had to wait 2 weeks because they had some stupid NBA finals to play on ABC. So then Chad comes back in and has a real awkward passive-aggressive conversation with Jordan Rogers, brother of Aaron, Vanderbilt quarterback who lost to Northwestern, go Cats, and didn't hit anybody. And then left. And you look back at Chad's time, all he did was rip a guy's shirt. He ripped Evan's shirt one time.
And that was it?
That was really all he did. He threatened to beat people up a lot, and he punched a door.
So he talked a
yeah,
a game.
And he ate a lot of cold cuts. But now he's gone, and his rival, Alex, who everyone was excited about, Alex kind of knocked him off. Now Alex has got a little Chad to him. Alex is starting things up.
The new alpha male of the house.
Yeah, so something to keep an eye on for next week's episode of The Bachelorette.
I'm waiting with bated breath.
I don't know how many more episodes I could watch, to be honest. I was really interested in Chad and to see if he was going to punch somebody, which just makes me out to be like the total guy, although I am watching Bachelorette. But like, that's what I was looking for. And it didn't happen. He's gone. So I don't know why I need to watch. I just have to keep watching to see if they're going to talk about Jordan Rogers losing to Northwestern, Chicago's Big Ten team. And this is the Chicago football podcast after all.
I guess. I mean, we're totally off the rails right now. So just watch Mr. Robot, will you, please?
We need to get back into TV things. Here's
here.
A TV
yeah.
thing. The right. O.J. Simpson documentary.
I'm through part three. It's been amazing.
It is so good. I finished it this week. It's awesome. It's just fascinating stuff. A lot of stuff makes you kind of angry, confused. It's just such a good look.
And as someone who was 9 when the chase happened and 10 during the trial, there are some vague memories that come back.
You know what I remembered? That was the first time I learned what the word acquitted meant.
Oh.
Because you're guilty or non-guilty, right?
Yeah.
That's it. Or guilty or innocent.
Right.
But acquitted was a word that I was unfamiliar with at that age and no idea. And so you had to kind of – and then, of course, the Johnny Cochran line, if it don't fit,
you must acquit.
So that was the first – like I just remember like that entered my vocabulary with the – you know, with what happened. Also, I was younger than you, John. I was 7 when this was going on. And I was in the – I watch every sports center I can until I have to go to school or day camp.
Okay, we were still doing that at my
right.
age, too.
So I did not like all the O.J. Simpson talk on my sports center. I didn't get
go
it.
Go back to the baseball. Yeah.
So go watch the documentary. Really good stuff. All right, that'll do it for this special mailbag edition of the Chicago Football Podcast. Thanks to all of you who tweeted your questions in. Remember, if you ever have any Bears or Bachelorette questions, you can tweet them at KFishbane or at Bears_Insider. We have a updated depth chart on the website, profootballweekly.com/Bears. Go check it out. Disagree with it in the comments. Next week, we will start our Bear Necessities, bringing them back from last year, the top 20 Bears, most important to the 2016 team. We're going to rank them from 20-1 leading into training camp. It starts on Monday, June 27th. I should have a calendar in front of me when I do these.
June 27th is the Monday.
Number 20, Bear Necessities. Next week, we'll kind of recap. We'll go five at a time until we get to number one and then the start of training camp. So stay tuned for that. You can follow along at Bears_Insider for those. All right, some thank yous to pass around. Intern Sam for sitting in. I don't think she's ever going to sit in again after listening to that show go off the rails. My executive producer, Dan Mott. My associate producer and co-host today, John Solly. I'm Kevin Fishbane. Thanks again for listening. We'll have a guest next week. More Bears talk right here on the Chicago Football Podcast.
The Shaw Media Podcast Network has a lot of really great sports podcasts, but are you more than just a sports fan?
You need to be listening to The Unprintable Podcast, which is a pop culture podcast with voices from journalists like myself, Nicole Franz.
And me, Jason Frummer.
As we discuss TV, movies, and of course, Jason's favorite subject,
music.
We'll also have some arts coverage, and you can catch special guests and exclusive interviews.
It's all right here on Unprintable. You can find us in the Shaw Media Podcast Network, available on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and Stitcher. Remember,
it's Unprintable.
Hi, everyone. This is Hub Arkish, executive editor of Pro Football Weekly, and I'm here to let you know that Pro Football Weekly is back. To celebrate, we're giving away a collector's edition hoodie a day for the next 60 days. Just go to profootballweekly.com/hoodie, enter your email, and if you've won, we'll email you right back. While you're there, check out the site. You want an insider's guide to the NFL? Go to profootballweekly.com for all the news and analysis you won't find anywhere else. Pro Football Weekly, the best coverage of the NFL since 1967.